On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the hymn suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. On the hill of rugged cross, soon despised by the world as a wondrous attraction to me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. What was on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Cross, I will never be true. His shame and reproach gladly bear. Then I'll call me someday to the home far away where his glory forever I share. So cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
John 19, and let us begin reading with verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled it with a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And I want to speak for a little while on those immortal words that we read there in verse 30. It is finished. The first thing we want to see is that this is not a cry of defeat. It's not a cry of resignation or despair, wherein Jesus would be bemoaning the fact that my life is over. It is rather a cry of triumph, of victory. It is a sense of accomplishment, even as we read there in verse 28, Jesus saw and he knowing that all things were now accomplished. We find that Jesus also said in the 17th chapter of this book, just a very short time before he was arrested, and he said at that time, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. Today, I am sure there are many, there are a host of things that were finished according to God's decree and according to God's reckoning. But this morning, I want to notice only seven major things that were finished there at the cross of Christ. The first one is the battle with Satan is over. It is done. It is complete. This is contrary to what some have taught and continue to teach in our day, because some insist that when Jesus left his spirit there at the cross, when he left his body rather, that his spirit went down to hell and that he grappled with the devil and that he wrested the keys of death and hell from him. That, of course, absolutely is not the truth. In the first place, Satan was not then, nor is he now, in hell. He is the prince of the power of the air, and we must understand that the battle that Jesus fought against the enemy was waged at the cross of Calvary. And now then, Jesus himself, before he dismisses his spirit, Jesus said, it is finished. He meant the battle was over. And of course, we know that indeed he had won that battle. It is important for us to understand that Jesus did not win this battle through strength. He won it through weakness. That is exactly the same message that he passes on to us. We don't win victory through our own strength and our might, but we learn it as we know our own weakness and believe the same God of resurrection that Jesus believed. And so he conquered, not through strength, but indeed through weakness. Let us turn to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that is, this fleshly body, he also himself, that is, Jesus, likewise took part of the same. And here is why. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. In other words, Jesus had to endure death in order to conquer Satan. The ultimate weakness he went through in order that he might gain this great victory over Satan himself. Jesus announced that victory just before he dismissed his spirit. He knew that he had won. Now, Satan wouldn't find that out for three more days, but
Jesus knew it was as good as done. He had such trust and confidence in his Father, as we read in the Psalms. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus knew that the victory was his at that very moment. And so he cried out in triumph, it is finished. There is no more battle left to fight. And what a glorious victory that was. This brings us to the second point, which means that death itself is finished. As we read here, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, but verse 15, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to death. Jesus took away the sting and the element of death. Death is finished insofar as Jesus is concerned, and we as Christians are concerned. Let us turn back to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. We had much of this in the message last week, considering the fact that we are in Christ. And these are glorious benefits and advantages that we have because we are in Christ. And so I want to reaffirm today that it is so important for us to understand everything that is said of Jesus in this chapter applies to me because I am in Christ. And this verse is one of those that is so important for us to understand and realize that death is finished insofar as my life is concerned. Verse 9 of Romans 6. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Death is finished. It has no quarter. It has no claim on him. Cannot conquer him or touch him again. The same thing is true in our experience. As we have already seen, as we very well know, yes, according to the definition of the world and the look of the world, when a Christian passes off of this scene, in the eyes of the world, he is dead. In the eyes of God, he's only asleep. Death is finished. Death was conquered and has no more dominion over us. And there are some other ramifications, even as we saw last week. We have victory over death in our lives today because death is finished. Then the third thing that is finished, as we see here, it also, notice in verse 6 of this same chapter, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old man is finished. Our old nature, our old husband, as he is described in Romans 7, he is finished. There is no more reason that the old man, that old nature, should rule over me any longer. I do not have to listen to his dictates again. I do not have to be under his authority. Why? It's finished. He's dead. He is gone. And as the scripture says in Romans 7, we are now free to be joined unto another, even unto Christ himself. So he is finished. We're no longer under such dominion. Number 4, in the second part of this verse, our old man is crucified with him. Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin is finished. And of course, our world would argue that. And as we look around, we certainly understand why. But let us understand this verse for our own edification, for our own victory. We read here that the body of sin might be destroyed. Sin finished. We see it beautifully expressed in Daniel 9:24. We'll not turn there, but you remember this is the vision of the 70 weeks and the promises of blessing that God gave. A part of that is that 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. That happened at the cross. Jesus destroyed the body, the bulk of sin. What does it mean? Quite simply that God has already exacted the penalty on sin, and there is no penalty left to pay. There are Christians that really do not understand that today. And some of them still labor under the idea that God is punishing me for my sin. We have seen again and again there are consequences of sin. But we are not punished for sin because Jesus bore that sin. He put away sin there at the cross of Calvary. And I know of some poor people today who are still expecting to go through the death, the gate of death, and discover there is something left to pay. There is some penalty left to pay after they cross over, so to speak, to the other side. That simply is not true according to the Scripture. Jesus destroyed the body of sin. God's government, we'll see later on, is absolutely satisfied with that penalty. But I want to notice in addition to that, it is so important we understand that sin has been destroyed. Notice as we read here in verse 6, henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin doesn't have any power over me any longer. When we believe that Jesus destroyed sin there at the cross of Calvary. Paul comments more on this in Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9. And verse 26. Again we speak of Christ. For then must he, that is Jesus, have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world or the end of the age. It is vitally important we understand when it happened. We know that that time is divided into ages or dispensations. Here we read in the end of the world or this age. He is speaking of the age of law. That age began when God gave the law at Sinai. The age of the law ended at the cross. And it is because that Jesus did something special. He put away sin at the cross. He also put away the law, as we'll see here presently. But you will notice here in this verse, but now once in the end of the age hath he appeared to put away sin. Jesus put away our sin in his own body there at the cross of Calvary. When he did, it means I cannot be judged for that sin because Christ took it all upon himself. And so it happened only once. Paul is contrasting Jesus with those priests of old who had to offer their sacrifices over and over, yearly, year by year, continually. And so he makes this contrast here that now Jesus, once in the end of this age, he's appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that leads us to the next point, which is that sacrifice is finished. The sacrifice is done. It is complete. As we see, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All of those bulls and goats that they had sacrificed throughout those years, down through the age of law, did absolutely nothing as far as gaining an eternal benefit. They were all in view of the cross. But Jesus offered himself once, and that was the ultimate and only sacrifice that God has ever accepted. It is vitally important for us to understand that as Christians, because there are some Christians who even seem today trying to make remuneration, so to speak, trying to make amends for past sins, trying to pay or to gain God's favor by doing something or going through all sorts of contortions or sacrifice. Catholicism has absolutely enriched herself of charging people for a debt that was already paid over 2,000 years ago on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is absolute blasphemy, which God will punish, as we read in Revelation 17 and 18. There is only one sacrifice for sin that God has ever accepted or ever will accept. It's the one sacrifice of Christ, and it is finished. It is done. And anyone who tries to add to that is taking away from the glory that belongs only to Jesus himself. And so it is by the one sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice of Christ that is now finished. We read in another place, there remaineth therefore no other sacrifice for sin, meaning that God will not accept any sacrifice for sin except that which Jesus has already offered. And so the sacrifice is finished. The sixth one is that the law is finished. We'll not turn there. You can take down these citations if you like. Colossians 2:14 says it this way: blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that is the law, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Jesus said, the law is finished. He nailed it to his cross, just like he did sin, death, and these other things. Romans 10:4 tells us the same story. Christ is the end of the law. He is the finish of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so the law has no more jurisdiction over us in Christ. Jesus nailed it to the cross. The law is finished, and therefore cannot condemn or judge or punish again. And then finally, number 7, let us turn back to Matthew, the 27th chapter. Matthew 27. And verse 50. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now Matthew doesn't tell us what he said, but the same portion in John that we read tells us exactly what he said. It is finished. And notice what happened when he said, it is finished. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice,
It is finished, as we know. He yielded up the ghost. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The seventh one is that the path of separation from God has come to an end. It is finished. That is the meaning of the rent veil. It was that veil which kept men out of the very closest place with God. As you recall, in going back to the Old Testament, there was a veil between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The priests could go into the holy place every day doing their business. But into the holiest of all, as the scripture says, only the high priest could go, and that was only once a year. Men were held out from that wonderful place of intimacy and fellowship with God. But now Jesus says that path has come to an end. Now then, God has opened the way that we indeed might come boldly to the throne of grace. This is what we must understand. It is finished, Jesus says. And now then, the way is wide open if we want it. If we will indeed take the opportunity to go into that glorious place, the way is wide open to come boldly to the throne of grace within that veil. And that is where we find this wondrous, this marvelous fellowship with God. And Jesus did it there at the cross of Calvary. It is finished, he said. And now we have all of these wonderful blessings that are represented by that glorious Holy of Holies. And so today, we once again would come and remember Christ, and we would rejoice in Him. We are thankful that we know why He said those wonderful words, "It is finished." He accomplished everything for us, and we now have that privilege just to rest in the finished work that Jesus has already done.